Hey.
You're just starting. So you're not. Did you walk?
I grow.
Gary, this is Crystal.
Hi, Crystal.
2 Timothy chapter 4. You want a Bible? 2 Timothy chapter 4. There he is.
Morning.
The evil one has arrived the day after his birthday.
Yep.
Another day older.
Yeah, Ronnie, I would have been nicer to you last night if I'd known.
12:39.
Huh?
12:40.
I would have been nicer to you last night if I'd known it was your birthday.
Oh, okay. That's all right. I forgive you.
I was reasonably nice to him.
Yeah, reasonably nice. He sure was. He tried me.
Well, you didn't miss it, John. He celebrates his for a week.
Oh, okay.
More to come.
To the end of the month.
And verse 18.
Where are we at?
2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. We talked about the word work, every evil work here. It's poneros ergon for every evil work. Poneros is just the ones that are. It's the word that describes our thoughts, Gary. But the word. Every evil work doesn't just it's includes whatever you're occupied in at any given time. Now, Paul was about to be beheaded, and his evil work would have been to gone inward in self-seeking and feeling sorry for himself or whatever. And so the thoughts are equally an evil work. Every thought that doesn't recognize that God is God and he and you are his alone is an evil work. And we're going to look at we're going to spend a few days maybe on this thing of thoughts, because that's always the greatest enemy. So let's go back to Genesis. Genesis 6.
You just described, though, a good thought.
What?
You just said that a good thought is one that recognizes that evil works.
Right. Well, it's a good thought then is repentance. That's why he fought the.
So good thoughts lead to repentance. That'd be a possibility.
Yeah.
No, good thoughts are the ones that repent instantly. Remember that John the Baptist was the greatest, Jesus said he was the greatest ever born among women. The really only sentence that describes everything he said was bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And that's it. Go to Genesis 6. This is.
I never fully understand that phrase. Bring forth fruit for repentance. Bring forth an offering.
No. Fruit just means whatever you're doing, the fruit of it is something. All right?
And abandon, which means.
Abandon is.
Do it in love without.
Without consideration, without self awareness.
All right.
Okay, so everything. Everything that isn't abandonment to God, living in that moment-by-moment faith, all the thoughts that are not that are the evil work. Because the finished work of Christ is already within you. All you have to do is abandon, disown, repent from even what you think are these sweet thoughts. Especially those that from Crystal's standpoint, which she's blaming herself for her mother's death. And so that from her standpoint right now, that's an evil work, because it's saying that the sacrifice of Christ wasn't enough. It's saying that he and her mother isn't in the perfect will of God and in the hands of God. Amen? Genesis 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be numbered 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Wait, let's just go down to verse 6. Verse, is that what it said? No, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, from God's standpoint, your best thoughts are evil. And that's what has to be recognized. And you can't recognize that until you have come to a place in which you have seen the emptiness and vanity of your own work and your own efforts and your own attempts and your own trying and your own doing. And all of it, remember, there's only two forms of thought in the world. There's a theology of glory, which always enhances in some way or considers what's going to happen to the best. And the theology of the cross, which says Christ is my life and all my thoughts just detract from his perfection. So I empty myself and he lives. I'm free. There's no such thing as a sweet thought. There's no such thing as a good thought. Thoughts, if we're continuing this, your thoughts are part of these evil works.
So if there are no sweet thoughts or good thoughts, then there are cross thoughts manifested through us. Is that correct?
We have the, it says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. Who being in the form of God, thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That word, made himself of no reputation, is one word in Greek, kino. And it means 100% emptiness. The mystery of God in you, he cannot occupy any place that you are, in you as the temple of God. So if your thoughts, you know, are racing and gelling and they're wonderful and, oh, fantasies of great accomplishments or regrets of the past, then you are filling his temple, which you are, with yourself. And his humility is so great, he will not occupy any place that you are. You understand, Gary?
The Moody Blues said it real well.
Oh, God.
They got a line where it says, I think, therefore I am.
You know, other people said that before Moody Blues did.
Yeah, well, I heard them say it. So
it must be true.
I think there was kind of a famous philosopher.
French, yeah. Maybe?
All right, well, whoever said it first, that, we give him the credit. But that's the only, if I don't think in the flesh, then I'm not.
So that's what you were just thinking about.
While you were talking, that's what I was thinking. Therefore.
And from now on, I'm going to say, as Gary Buckner used to say, I think, therefore I am.
We've got the book of Ronnie's little dealies. Now we can have the book of Gary. Every famous thought and idiom that had ever been invented will apply to Gary.
Filtered through Gary.
Yeah. All right, next go to 1 Chronicles 28. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings.
This thing that we just read in verse 5 about thoughts or imagination is evil continually, that's not different.
No.
I mean, it wasn't about these bad guys, and that's why God had to destroy the world in the flood. It's like that's the way he dealt with them, but the people are the same.
Right.
We're still
doing it.
Imagination of our thoughts of our heart are evil continually.
What was this, First Chronicles?
First Chronicles chapter 28. Now David, this is the words of David just before he died. Give somebody, you got it?
492.
Huh?
Page 492.
And this is the words of David after he had just about, well, he was just about to die, just like what we're reading now in 2 Timothy. Paul was just about to die. David is speaking, and he says in verse 8, "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that he may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever." Now the good land of Israel was a metaphor, was a parable for the church. Now in you, the land is good. He has prepared it exactly what it should be. Everything that you have ever done, he wrought in you to bring you to this point. And so now the land is good once you empty. It's perfect for him. Amen? So listen. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that God of the God of thy father, know the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now, this has been continuous. In the garden, Adam and Eve were born innocent and were created innocent without self-awareness. Then they named. Once he named things, then there was a potential for the fall. Then when the fall came, then self-awareness became automatic. And he's waited all these years for his people to abandon themselves to his love and his perfection, not leaning on their own arm of understanding for anything. All right, now go to Psalm 10. Fell to self-awareness.
And the fall was then to relying on your own self as God, thinking of yourself as God.
Right, because the only time that the evil one is identified in the Old Testament, well, that's not true, in the Torah, is it's those that judge for themselves good and evil. Now, You can say good and evil, or this should have happened and this should have happened. This, you think for some reason that any moment that you're in should be different than it is. That's all part of judging for yourself good and evil, instead of standing in that moment of total and complete dependence every second of your life on the Father. And you have the capacity to do that because now Jesus Christ has made his home in you. The law bids us to fly, but gives us no wings. In Christ, he has the capacity to fly and whatever it is. It's him, not you. All right, Psalm 10. Verse 3, the wicked, and when it says the wicked, is everybody there, Gary? Psalm 10.
Psalm 10, verse 3. Verse 3.
Yeah.
Says, for the wicked.
I know.
Why would you change it?
Well, okay, it means regarding the wicked, but it says in Greek, in Hebrew and Greek, every time it says that, when it's the article, it's the wicked one.
Okay, but it confuses me when you do that.
When you said he left off the first word?
Yeah, I don't mind. You know what you want to do, fine. But I'm just saying that it confuses.
Let's start in verse 2 where I started in actuality, okay? Okay. The wicked one. You got it?
The wicked is in pride.
Right. The wicked, but it says in Hebrew, the wicked one.
Okay.
Now, who is the wicked one?
We're all born wicked.
That's right. Your mind is the wicked one. The wicked one in his pride doth persecute the poor. Now, who are we really persecuting? We're persecuting, obviously, the poor out here, but we're persecuting the one who is poor and empty beyond all, and that's Christ in you, the only hope of glory. We are persecuting him by our thoughts. Luther said, every time you think a thought, it's as though you're pounding the crown of thorns of Christ into his head. Every time you think you have something to do, you're nailing a nail into his hand. And every time you think you have a place to go, you're nailing the nails into his feet. That's pretty heavy. We have been found wanting. We are, remember the handwriting on the wall? Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, in the chamber in Babylon, which is your mind. And if we saw, he saw the finger of God written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin, which translated is, you have been weighed in the balance and found eternally lacking. Now his own seed, his own zera, has gotten him the victory. As long as we empty ourselves, then we have reached the perfection of his holiness. Because he is holy, he accomplished everything. There is nothing left for us to do. If you're suffering anything, you are partakers of the sufferings of Christ. You are no longer in the picture. What? Ronnie's giving me that look again.
I agree with you.
You agree?
Yes.
All right. So, starting in verse 2, Ronnie. The wicked one in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Your thoughts and your mind, your emotions have never once in your life been your friend. Their purpose is to keep you alone, separate, and in maximum need. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. What does that mean? It means he gains sustenance from his thoughts.
And emotions.
Yeah. And the cowboys. The wicked one does this. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesses the covetousness, whom the Lord abhorreth. That's what's happening in the church today. The church is blessing or sanctifying greed, covetousness, by saying God's purpose is to make you rich and healthy and nice and sweet and have good children and all that crap. Now, hear me. All your mind is capable of doing is blessing covetousness. Everybody understand that?
You know, that's a particularly wild verse here.
Whom the Lord the Lord blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked one, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in his thoughts. Amen? Go to Psalm 56. We may spend more than a few days in this.
Well, we can, you know.
Thank you.
We got the time.
Now, this one is just, this one is unbelievable to me. Be merciful unto, and this, remember, the Psalms are the prayers of Christ written by the Spirit of Christ in David. They're the prayers of Christ as he walked the earth. And now they are the prayers of Christ in you. That's why the Psalms are so incredibly important. Now watch. Psalm 56, starting verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Everybody understand that? This mystery of the perfection of his holiness, which is your true identity, your thoughts swallow him up. Amen?
It's pretty cool that that's the Spirit of Christ.
Written this.
His own prayer, which is very identifiable.
He fighting daily oppresseth me. Do you think you daily oppress the mystery of God? If you don't think you're daily oppressing him, you're a fool. Because if you don't know this, you'll never abandon yourself. You'll never disown yourself. You'll keep trying to get self better and fix self. Mine enemies. And who are the enemies of Christ? Every one of us. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I therefore will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. You understand what that means?
Twist.
Yeah, it means to twist them. People take the Bible and they go selective half scriptures and they use it to justify their own thoughts. So,
and actions.
And, well, right now we're studying thoughts. Thoughts always precede action. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. Somebody tell me about their good thoughts or sweet thoughts. Tell me about them.
Well, I think this is a sweet thought. I'm looking to volunteer someplace and trying to be helpful. I think that's a sweet thought.
Okay, now right now, keep your hand in Rome, in Psalms and go to Romans 7. Trying to be helpful. Romans 7.
Thank you.
Ronnie, you're my straight man.
Thank you for stepping out there.
Yeah. I thought I'd give you a break here.
Verse 14.
Wait a minute, I'm not there yet.
Well, if you quit flitting around, you'd be there by now.
Okay, Romans 7.
Right.
I'm almost there.
Don't do anything in a hurry.
Okay.
Ronnie never does anything in a hurry.
No, I don't.
Turn no page before it's time.
Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. I am flesh, dead flesh, sold under sin. For that which I do, I don't want to do. I'm targeting it here for you, Ronnie. For that which I do, I don't want to do. And what that, what I want to do, that I don't do. But what I hate, that's what I do. Anybody sound familiar? If then I do that which I would not consent, I consent unto, the, I mean, which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, this is the critical point. It was for me. Before that, I had no law. I just did whatever I felt like. After I became a believer, then if I did something that I didn't want to do, I consented to the law that it was good. That was a biggie. That was a first. Now watch. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, or the evil one, that dwelleth in me. And the only place he dwells is in your mind and emotions. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I want to do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that which I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now listen carefully, Ronnie. I find then a law that when I want to do good, the evil one is present with me. Because you're doing it to benefit yourself. Amen? All these do-gooders, what happens? They go down and give sandwiches to the homeless.
Well, I would change that immediately.
Huh?
I would change that immediately.
Good. Okay, back to Psalms 56. Verse 5. Psalm 56. You're supposed to keep your finger in the right place. You got it?
I got it. You're still flipping around.
Gary, you still flipping around?
Yeah, I let it go on my phone.
Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. And they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Pretty heavy.
Was that Psalms what?
That was Psalm 56, verse 6. That's probably a good place to stop.
That idea that these Psalms are Christ, Spirit of Christ speaking.
Amen.
Just a wild, it just blows the whole Bible open. You know?
Amen.
We were talking about that originally a long time ago, whatever that was.
That was like 30 years ago.
Yeah, many years ago.
Just for review. The only Bible, the only writings that were considered scripture were the first five books by Jesus, by the apostles. They were holy. They were inspired by God. And how then could the Genesis be holy? When it talked about all this crap that everybody did, and then a few goodies. Because if you look at Genesis carefully, you will see Jesus in Abel. You will see Jesus in anyone that's persecuted. And you will see the evil one is the persecutor. Throughout all the Torah, the writings, the Psalms, as I said, were written by the Spirit of Christ, for Christ as he walked the earth, for the Spirit of Christ in you. Proverbs were the contrast. It's not a how-to book, it's a contrast of what is. If you're in eternity, then the Proverbs are, if you're seated with him, and you've abandoned yourself, then the Proverbs are boom, 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 boom. But if you're still on earth, then the Proverbs reveal the whore, Babylon. Then the first four books of, and all the prophets, again, were for rebellion. And writings and prophecies, because Israel rebelled. And we, so all, everything in the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, are types, tropes, parables about one thing only, Jesus Christ, and what isn't him. And then the four Gospels are the four different views from the four cardinal points of the compass to see the fulfillment that he finished everything. And the writings are the expression of that fulfillment or the lack of it in his church, in his people. And the book of Revelation sits over all of time. It's always true. Just that's where he wants us, without time, so that we look and see and speak what he sees and speaks.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you think that we as individuals go through our own tribulation personally?
Sure.
It's not gonna be like a worldwide known thing, but
no,
we all go through it personally.
The tribulation is all of
I'm not just talking about the end of the earth, but I'm talking about the tribulation.
No, I understand.
With our soul.
But listen to me. I understand. Each of us. The Lord, the Psalm 23 is about that. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall never want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by beside the still waters. He restores my soul when I screw up." He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, the only path, the only way, for his name's sake, for Christ's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's all of time and space, and we all walk through it, our daily tribulation. Except when you become a believer, then you no longer see the tribulation as yours, but you are being honored to partake of the sufferings of Christ. So it's no longer yours.
You start going crazy in the world's
eyes. Oh, yeah.
You're insane.
Sure. They have no way to understand it.
It
makes sense. Amen. Anybody else? So welcome to Bible study. She's just sort of hanging around without any money down the street. All right. Take it, big guy.
All right.